a fantastic Daf Lamed Beis Amud Aleph. Very fascinating. The three opinions, how you combine together the two brachas on Rosh Hashanah. We said over perhaps Soloveitchik that there really should have been 10 brachas on Rosh Hashanah. The first three brachas of Avuzik Vuras Hakdushas Hashem that Dushman Esra always begin. The last three brachas would say Moedim and Sim Shalom. And then the middle should be Malchus Zechayin Shofers, and then another bracha Kedushas Hayoyim. But the Gemara says in brachas that the Anshei Knesset HaGadolah consisted of 120 Chachamim, Ubehem Kama Nevi'im, and amongst them are several Nevi'im. So Rav Chaim Volozhiner points out that apparently you need Koyach HaNevuah, you need Bracha Kodesh to be able to compose a tefillah that shall last over 2,000 years. We still say that tefillah. You have to compose a tefillah that's not just relevant for the next couple of months. A tefillah should be relevant for 2,000 years. So they needed nevuah. So the Gemara says, when they composed the Shemone Esrei, they had to find a makor in Tanakh that you can compose a tefillah that has 18 yudas. When they made Velam Alshinim, they had to find a makor that they have a right to make a tefillah with 19 yudas. And the Nusach on Shabbos and Yontif has 7 brachas. First three, the last three, and the one in the middle is a makor for 7. And when you have a tiny sibur, and the Chazan says Chazor Sashatzi adds 6 additional brachas in addition to the 18, so it's 24. The Gemara has a makor in Tanakh for a tefillah with 24 units. There's no makor in Tanakh for a tefillah with 10 units. The makor for 9 units, not for 10. Tefillah Schana has Shem Hashem 9 times. So the Gemara says that's a makor that you can compose a tefillah with 9 units. But they wanted to have 10 brachas over here. So all the Tanoim are working on the assumption you have to condense the 10 and make them into 9. So you have to combine 2. So those were the three opinions. Rabbi Yochanan Nuri says you introduce Malchias and Kedushas Hashem. Why? Because on the Seris HaMei Truly end off HaMelech HaKodesh. You don't say HaKel HaKodesh. So he's speaking about the theme of Malchias anyway. So he may as well insert the whole bracha of Malchias in the bracha of Kedushas Hashem. And the Yerushalmi says that in Galil the practice was like Rabbi Yochanan Nuri. But Akiva Disagree says no, you should combine Malchus with Kedushas Hayayim. The first bracha in Emtsoyis is the bracha of Kedushas Hayayim. And the theme of Rosh Hashanah, the main theme is Malchus. That makes sense, you combine it. And the Chasimus HaBracha is saying Melech Al Kol Haaretz, the Kaddish is Oli Amazikor. Melech Al Kol Haaretz is the bracha of Malchus. The Kaddish is Oli Amazikor is the bracha on Kedushas Hayayim. So you combine the two together. And the third opinion, and that was the common practice, and the third opinion that apparently was never too popular, was Rav Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, that you say the Kedushas Hayayim im hazichreinus, the middle, Malchus, when the Shofar said the three middle brachas, so all year long on Shabbos and Yom Tov, you have the Kedushas Hayayim, is the middle bracha, it's the 4th out of 7, so on Rosh Hashanah, it's the 5th out of 9, the middle one. Why should it be the middle one? That's what he said. I call you Lord. So we follow Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Chaim made a deal in the Rambam. What if b'diyeva the person will daven like Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri? So the Rambam doesn't really say that it's that we pass him like Rabbi Akiva. The difference is chos. If you daven like Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri, you would be yotze b'diyeva. You condense the 10 into 9. And you combine those two together. But it's like some people daven Nusach Ashkenaz, some people daven Nusach Svar, Nusach Teiman, every community has a different. So if the Rambam would appear, he has it in the Nusach HaTfila. He tells you that we follow Rabbi Akiva. But he doesn't say it's a din that you're not Yotze unless you do Rabbi Akiva. If you do like Rabbi Echmanuri, but he had it, perhaps he would also be Yotze in the Tfila. The Gemara said the practice was not like Rabbi Yochanan Nuri. Lo ha'yanogin kei b'yavim. Then the Gemara says, one year the Baal Tefila davened like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. He didn't say you're not Yotze. He said that wasn't the practice. Lo ha'yanogin kei. So the next year, they davened like Rabbi Akiva. That was the minute. It would appear from the Gemara. It's a question of Nusach. Which is the more acceptable Nusach? And then, Rabbi Soloveitchik explained what was the argument of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Manuri says that since you're incorporating Malchus into the bracha, Atu Kodesh and Shimcha Kodesh, therefore Eino Tokeya. Because the role of the Tkiya is it says Yom Teruah Lachem and Targumin and Yom Yabava. The Teruah is supposed to sound like crying sound. The Gemara says later on there are three kinds of crying. Some people cry and it sounds like Shvarim. Some people cry and it sounds like Teruah. Some people cry and it sounds like Shvarim Teruah. That's the Gemara is going to quote later. His correct. Who is it? Asking Rababo Bikisri. That's the first very wide line on Lamed Dalet Amid Aleph. About eight lines from the bottom. Right below the Torah says Nevrei Biyad. So the last two words on that line. Asking Rababo Bikisri. Rababo was an Amori, lived in Kisri in Eretz Yisrael. He introduced, he should blow Tkir Shvarim, Tkir three times, Tkir Tua, Tkir three times, Tkir Shvarim, Tkir three times. Why isn't there a possibility of Tua Shvarim? If he's considering all the logical possibilities, the Gemara says, nobody cries like that. That's not a normal way. That's the last eight lines, the Gemara says. You do all the logical possibilities, and we blow three times Tkir Tua, Tkir. We're not sure what's Tua, but Atzad HaShem Shabem, Teruah is supposed to sound like a crying sound. Because the Pasuk says, Yom Teruah Yerachem, and the Targumina, and the Targum Mokla says, Yom Yabava, and in Sefer Shoftim, in Shiras Devaira, it says, Ein Sisra Vata Yabev. Sisra's mother was sobbing. Her son Sisra was always victorious in battle, and he always came back from the battle with dancing and singing and music and everything. This time he didn't come home. So she was crying, what happened to her son? He was killed. He was killed in the war. So the Pasuk says, Vati Abeh means to cry. That's how we know what the sound of Teruah is supposed to sound like. It's supposed to sound like crying. So the purpose of blowing Shofar in the middle of Chazaras Hashavs, if the Malkus went in Shofar, is to elevate the level of the Tefillah. You mentioned the Gemara says in Perek Hazav, the Bav Metzia, the tefillahs are not accepted. Ninalu shari tefillah, because the Beis Hamikdash is base tefillah. Ikari elchav amim. So once the Beis Hamikdash is destroyed, so the official location for accepting tefillahs doesn't exist anymore. So the tefillahs are no longer accepted the way they used to be. However, the Gemara says even though shari tefillah with ninalu shari demor is lo ninalu. If the person offers a tefillah with such regish, with such, he's so moved by the tefillah that he's brought to tears, that's a higher level of a tefillah. So that tefillah is acceptable, the man hazeh, just like with man hamikdash. We blow shofar in the middle of Chazaras Hashatz, that it should enhance, you know. If you blow shofar in the middle of Asher Yotzeh, that's going to be a hepsik. You blow shofar in the middle of something else, that'll be a hepsik. You blow shofar in the middle of a tefillah, and you're blowing truas to elevate the level of the tefillah, should be a tefillah sheyeshim ha-demoyas. So that's not a hefsek. If you shake a lulav in the middle of the Shemona Esri, that'll be a hefsek. Shake a lulav in the middle of Halal, kach tikno chachamim. Ozirad no kalat sayor, the nanuim of the Dalet meaning is a form of Halal. Even we act as if even ozirad no kalat sayor, even the trees and the forest are all dancing in the presence of a Kaddish Baruch Hu. So that the Nanuim of the Dalmina fits into the Halal. And the Tkir Shofar fits in with the Shemona Esrei. But you're going to shake a lulav in the middle of Shemona Esrei, or you're going to blow Shofar in the middle of Halal, doesn't fit in. The Shofar is to elevate the Tefillah. So apparently Rabbi Chaim Nuri says, you don't blow Shofar at the end of Malchias, because he's saying Malchias in the Gimel Mishayim, he's saying Malchias and Ato Kaddish and Shem Chakaddish. Amelach HaKadosh, middle of that bracha. So the Gimel of Rishon is you don't have any bakoshes. Usually the way we have it, Malchus and Shofar are the three middle brachas of the Musaf, Dikra, Shemona Esrei and Rosh Hashanah. So the first paragraph, all three have the same form. It starts off with a statement of Emunah. We believe in Malchus, we believe in Zechonis, we believe in Shofar. That's what we said yesterday. Rabbi Yosef Valbo writes that the Rambam listed off 13 Ikarei Emunah. He said basically it boils down to three. And the three Ikarei Emunah are Malchus, Chayin, and Shofar. So we start off with the principle, a statement of what we believe in. Then we prove from Tanakh that it's true. We quote Psukim from Tanakh. So we quote our practices, we say nine Psukim. Why? He quoted one pasuk from Chumash, maybe we're quoting out of context. He quoted another pasuk, maybe also out of context. We quote three psukim, that's already achut hamshulosh. So the three psukim, even if one or two of them are not authentic, when you put all three together, that proves the point. And we say, God is our cause about Torah, Shana, Bavim, Shulosh, Baksuk. So we say three psukim from Chumash, then we say three psukim from Ksuvim. The Ran explains because the Ksuvim that we quote from are always Tehillim, and David HaMelech wrote Tehillim before the Nevi'im. We're going to quote from Nevi'im who lived after the days of David HaMelech. So we go in chronological order. First we say three psukim from Torah, then three psukim from Ksuvim, then three psukim from Nevi'im. So the nine psukim is really enough to prove the point. And then the last paragraph is the bakasha. The brachas hamtzoyas are supposed to be bakashas. The essence of tefillah is really bakashas sarachim. We ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to take care of all of our needs. Derech Eretz dictates that you don't knock on the White House door, just ask, please take care of this, please take care of that. You have to begin first with Shevach, you have to conclude with Hoidoya, but the essence of the tefillah is the bakasha in the middle. So you have to have bakasha. So the bakasha is the concluding paragraph. Okay, what I'm saying, Baruch Hakolam Kula B'Choydecha. That's the Bakash. Okay, what I'm saying, Zecherim Zikaron Tov L'Baruch. Okay, what I'm saying, Tkab B'Shef Gor L'Chem Yisayim. So that Bakash, we want to enhance that Bakash in two ways. We enhance it by blowing Shofar at the end, to elevate the level of the Bakash. It's a Tfilah She'eshim Ademois, because the Tkiyas should sound like crying. And we elevate the level of the Bakash by saying, you promised us in the Chumash you're going to do that. So that's why we have the 10th pasuk. It's not that we need 10 psukim. We really need 9 psukim to prove the point. And the 10th pasuk belongs in the middle of the bakasha. That's why in Zechronis and Shofars, 10th pasuk is in the middle. How come in Malchus, the 10th pasuk is after the first 9 psukim? Why is it in the middle? So that's what the Rishonim explained, that that bracha, first of the three brachas in the middle is both of, we combine the two together, according to Rabbi Akiva, we combine together Malchus with Kedushas Hayoyim. So Kedushas Hayoyim, in Kedushas Hayoyim, in Kedushas Hayoyim all year long, on Shabbos Ayantim, you don't call that name Psukim. So here on Rosh Hashanah, because we're incorporating Malchus into Kedushas Hayoyim, so in a certain sense, Malchus is a guest. The bracha is really Kedushas Hayoyim. Malchus is a guest. It's not right that the guest should take over everything. The basic bracha is really Kedushas Hayoyim. So that's why we don't put in the pasuk. So we put the pasuk before. We put the pasuk after the 9th psukim. So it's not symmetrical. Malchus, the 10th pasuk, is right after the 9. Zechanis and Shofar, the 10th pasuk, is in the middle of the last paragraph. So some Rishonim disagree with this compromise that we have. The common practice is we have a compromise. For Zechonis and Shofar, the 10th pasuk has nothing to do with the 9th psukim. The 9th psukim was approved of as a cause of Torah, Shalom Avil, Shalom to prove from Tanakh that the Ikir Amunah is correct. The 10th pasuk is to enhance the Bakasha. But we do the compromise. On Malchus, we have the 10th pasuk right after the 9. And Zechariah and Shofar to have it at the end. So some Rishonim say it should always be, the 10th pasuk always relates to the Bakasha, but it should always be after the 9. It should never be in the running paragraph. So Rav Soloveitchik, in order to satisfy that opinion, had the practice that at the end of the 9th psukim of Zechariah and Shofar, not only Malchus, he say, everybody says the 10th pasuk right after the 9. He would do the same by Zechariah and Shofar also. He would say the 10th pasuk right after the 9. He satisfied that opinion. He heard another shita. But he said, he thinks even in Malchus, but everybody says it right after the 9, you should really have a pause after the 9 psukim. Shouldn't have the pause after Mitzvah. You should pause, like we said yesterday. Usually, when the Chazan finishes, everybody sings, ay, 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 ay. So he said the pause should be with the Nigin in between the 9th pasuk and the 10th. You shouldn't have any pause in between the Mitzvah and the Tefillah afterwards, because it really is to enhance the Tefillah. So that's why Rabbi Akiva argued with Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri. Says, "Emeinu tokeya, if you're not going to blow shofar after Malchias, why not? Because it's in the Gimel Rishonis, you're combining Malchias with Kedushas Hashem. Because the Kedushas Hashem brochem is Hamelach HaKadosh, so you say Malchias." So Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri says, say the whole Malchias there. So you're not going to have the Bakosh at the end. You don't have too many, you don't have Bakoshas in the Gimel Rishonis. So since you're not going to say the third concluding paragraph, so it doesn't make sense to have the Tkir Shayf. The Tkir Shayf is to elevate the level of the Bakosha, that it should be a Tvila Sheishiva Demois. But you're not saying any Bakosha. You're not saying the last paragraph. So that's what Rabbi Akiva argues. Emeinu tokeya, if you're not going to blow Shayf because you're not saying the paragraph, so why do you say the 10th pasuk? To prove the point of Vikra and Emuna, all you need are the 9 psukim. 3 psukim from Chumash, 3 psukim from Navi, 3 psukim from Ksuvim and Shani. Prove the point. The 10th pasuk is to elevate the level of the Bakosha that you promised us in the Torah you're going to do Malchus. You promised us you're going to do Zechariah. You promised us. So if he's not going to blow Shofar anyway because there is no Bakosha, Rabbi Chaim Haus, you don't have any Bakosha in Malchus because it's put in the middle of the Kedushas Hashem, so that's why you don't blow shofar. So Rabbi Yechon, so Rabbi Akiva argued. So why do you need the 10th pasuk at all? That was a strong argument. So our minig is that we follow Rabbi Akiva. From the Gemara would appear, from the Ramos would appear. But even if you daven like Rabbi Yechon Manu, you'll be. I'd say, just there are two nuschos in the Galil that the Rishonim said that was the practice for many years. They follow Rabbi Yechon Manu. It's a beautiful pshat in the Gemara. Then the Mishnah has Ein Pachs Masor Malchis Masor Zechanes Masor Shayfers. You say Tempsu. Rabbi Manuri says a Mama Gimel Gimel Mikulam Yotza. What does mean Gimel Gimel Mikulam Yotza? So the Gemara has a Sofek. Iboilu, about 10 lines from the bottom, after the two dots. What does he mean? Sholosh Manatero, Sholosh Manavim, Sholosh Manaksuvim, Davitesh Ikeb Benayachod. He's arguing on the 10th Pasuk. He just throws out the 10th Pasuk, but he agrees. You have to have Dovazakos, Batero, Shad Mamil, and Sholosh Manaksuvim. You got to say 3, 3, and 3, 9. Or Dilma, no. Maybe what he means is that you don't need 3, 3, and 3. Maybe all you need. Be'makol, you have 3 psukim. Dovah zakos v'atav shal ma'avil m'shulz b'ksuvim. 1 pasuk from Torah, 1 pasuk from Navi, 1 pasuk from Suvim. All you say is 3, v'ikim and ha'tuvim. So it's a big difference. The first Tana says, you need 10 psukim. Bechman, there he says, it's enough for 3 psukim. Not that it's enough for 9 psukim. It's enough for 3. So the Gemara says, Toshma, that all you need are 3. Mama Shabbos Mikulam Yotze B'Di'evet. If you said 3 is good enough, you don't even need 9. Okay, but we pass and you need 10. The 10 psukim that you need, so there is a Gemara on the last daf on Laman Hey or Menala. The Gemara says about in the middle, right in the middle of the Amud, has a tiny base there from the Ayin Mishpat there Mitzvah. Amar Rav Chanan Al Amar Rav Kimish Amar Sarasa Kasa Lev Meshuvein Et Tzorech. What does that mean? So there's a machlokes here, Rashi and Tosfos. So Rashi says, they can't be talking about Malchus, Zechanes, and Shofars. You're just going to say the theme of Malchus that we're going to say. And this theme says in Torah Levi Maksuvim, you're not going to quote any psukim, you're just going to say, Sarasa Kasa Lema. It says this in Chumash and Levi Maksuvim. So Rashi says, it can't be. The Mishnah says you have to say 10 psukim. Rabbi Menuza, you're going to say 3 psukim, but you have to say psukim. So what does he say? It's enough in Sepsa Rasul Kasa Lema. The Rashi says it goes on psukim ha-musafim. When you dab in musaf and you say yiratzim ha-fanecha, the Beis HaMikdash should be rebuilt and will bring the korbanos ha-musafim as it says in Torah Moshe, and we quote the psukim. So then the Gemara says, you don't have to quote the psukim, just say you should rebuild the Musafim. He'll bring the Musafim as it's described in the Chumash. No need to mention the Psukim. But the Malchus Chayin HaShofars, you can't do without that. You have to say the Psukim. Rashi says there were those who interpreted that it goes on the Malchus Chana Sharpin, and says it cannot be. That's impossible. So Tosfos quotes the Rashi, and they disagree with Rashi. What do you mean? The Musafim, you don't have to quote the Psukim. No, Neshama Farm Sarsenu. You have to quote the Psukim. That's the Gemara, the end of Megillah, that the Gemara comments. When Avraham Avinu had the bris, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him a maton, he gave him Eretz Yisrael. That's what it says in the Poskim. When you attend the bris, you should give him a maton. Because when HaKadosh Baruch Hu attended the bris of Avraham Avinu, he gave him a maton, he gave him big real estate, he gave him all Eretz Yisrael. So you have to give him a maton. So Avraham Avinu asked, Bamo'eda ki yir Hashem. So the Gemara, there's a Medrash, understands, he's asking, how do I know you're going to keep your promise? So the Medrash says, that's what Avram said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I don't know you're going to keep your promise. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I'm going to punish you for saying that. Because he said, Bamo'eda, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Yodaya Teta Kigar Yerzarach Beretz Lachem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu used the same lashon that he said, Bamo'eda, and he said, you're going to be punished. Your descendants will suffer in Mitzrayim because you didn't have full amunah. But the Gemara doesn't understand like that. The Gemara understands, Bamo'eda Kiloshenu, Avram Levin was asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what zechus should my descendants have? What mitzvah should I be careful about that in the zechus of that mitzvah we should be entitled to control Eretz Yisrael? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, Chol le'egnum sheleshes, etc. v'sar v'goizol. So the answer was, b'zechus hakrovas hakarbonas. The Jewish people should be careful to bring karbonas. So that's all it says in the Chumash. But then the Gemara continues the conversation. This doesn't say in Chumash. Avraham Avinu asked, but what's going to happen in 1948? The Jewish people want to control Medina Yisrael. And there's no Beis HaMikdash. So if we only have the right to maintain Eretz Yisrael, sovereignty over Eretz Yisrael, the Schus HaKrovus HaKamanas, what's going to be Bizman Shein Beis HaMikdash Kaya? So this part already doesn't appear in Chumash, but the Gemara adds it. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says him, let your descendants, let the Jewish people recite the Pesukei HaKamanas, I will consider it as if they brought the karbonis. So the Chafetz Chaim has a whole essay where he quotes many Rishonim who say that that promise only applies to karbonis and binyan beis hamikdash. It doesn't apply to other mitzvahs. Let's say a Jew is in Siberia under the communists and he doesn't have any matzah. So let him recite, let him learn the kitzur shorach and the din of matzah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will consider it as if he ate matzah. A person is sick at home and he can't go to shul and he misses Kriyas HaTorah. So he'll read Hilchas Kriyas HaTorah, Amala Ane Alem, Kiel, he heard Kriyas HaTorah. So the Mabit writes like that. Mabit was a contemporary of Rabbi Yosef Karo in Tzfat in the 1500s, and he wrote a sefer, Beis HaLekim. So he writes like that. Whenever you're not able to fulfill a mitzvah, so at least learn the dinim of the mitzvah. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says he'll consider it as if you did the mitzvah. So the Chafetz Chaim quotes, Rishonim is saying not like the Mabit. It only applies to korbanos or to binyan beis hamikdash also. Neshama farm svasenu. So it's important that Rabbi Yonah writes in brachas. Rabbi Yonah is the commentary printed on the side of the Rif. So the Talmid Rabbi Yonah writes, reciting korbanos is a din deraisa. It's not a minig. It's a real, in Shulchan Aruch, they write that's a recommended minig to recite korbanos. But the Rabbi Yonah holds it's not a recommended idea. It's a real din d'oraisa. Yes, nafkamina l'dina based on that. So the Balei HaTos disagree with Rashi. They hold, what do you mean? You're just going to say, Yiratzon Shibana Beis HaMikdash, and we'll be able to bring the Musafim as is recorded in the Chumash. No. Whoever recites the Psukim, Mala Ane Alem Kilekim. If they don't recite the Psukim, it's not enough just to say. So Rabbi Nathan disagrees with Rashi. He says, no. Psukei HaKavonis is Le'ikuva. You have to say the Psukim, not like Rashi. And the Gemara says, if you say, so Rasul Kosov Leymar, that goes on the Malchus and Hanus Shefes. Lechatchili, you should recite all the Psukim, all the 10 Psukim, the Malchus, etc. But by the Yevid, if you just said the first paragraph, the Ikar and Emunah, and then instead of quoting all the Psukim, you just say, and this theme is evident throughout Tanakh, in Torah, and Nevi'im, and Ksuvim. So by the Yevid, you Yotze, even if you don't mention the Psukim. So that's the Machlekes, the Rabbeinu Tam, and the last Taisus, and the Masechta, and Rashi, but it goes on.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Would you feel the concept of Shalom Purim supplicating by either by saying part of the Korban of the morning, like let's say a person would just say the Korban Tamid, would that still be a cumin?
Yeah, that's all you have to say. Only the Talmud, the Mishnah Berurah quotes, the Maharil has a suffix where the reciting Mishnah Dalit, the Talmud was an Oila. Is that also necessary for the purpose of an Hashem HaFarm Sarsena? Or is it sufficient if you just say the Torah Shebichzav? So he says, what's an Afkamina? They assume everybody's going to say everything. What's an Afkamina? Where the women are Mechuyev to say Mishnah Dalit. If it's Bitam HaShem HaFarm Sarsena, so the women are Mechuyev also to say that part of Zerv HaKarim. But if it's only for the purpose of Shlish B'Mikra, Shlish B'Mishnah, Shlish B'Talmud, that's what Tosfos quotes in Kiddushin. Tosfos quotes from the Gaonim that the reason why we recite as Zerv HaKarim is because Leonim Mishal HaShadim Shnoisav, Shlish B'Mikra, Shlish B'Mishnah, Shlish B'Talmud. So when we say the Birchas HaTorah in the morning, so we say Yerecha Hashem Yishmerecha Yerushan Parav Elach Mechanekon. Say three psukim mechum. So you say Shlish B'Mikra. Then Shlish B'Mishnah. We recite the Perik of Mishnayis and Zemekon. Then we say Rabbi Shmuel Loimer. That's called Shlish B'Talmud. The Rambam understands Shlish B'Mikra, Shlish B'Mishnah, Shlish B'Talmud. That one's learning should be balanced. You shouldn't spend time all the time with Hashem and Zikin. You're not going to learn anything else. Some people only learn Kachim. They don't learn anything else. Some people only learn their Achayim, they never look at the everyday. So the Rambam understands, Shlish B'Mikra, Shlish B'Mishnah, Shlish B'Talmud, the learning should be balanced. You should grow in all the areas at the same time. But Tosfos quotes in the Gaonim a different shot, that Shlish B'Mikra, Shlish B'Mishnah, Shlish B'Talmud is a detail within the din of Kviyas Itim LaTorah. One is obligated to be Kaveh Itim LaTorah a little bit every day. The Gemara says a little bit every day and a little bit every night. The Pasuk in Yeshua says, "V'halisa v'yamu v'loyla." If not for that Pasuk, we would have thought 5 minutes every day and you yotze. So the Gemara says, no, the Pasuk says, "V'halisa v'yamu v'loyla." 5 minutes every day, 5 minutes every night. So it doesn't tell you how much you have to learn, but within the mitzvah, Kriyasit Manatar, you have to have a little bit every day from Tanakh, a little bit every day from Halacha L'maisa, and a little bit every day with Talmud. So reciting the Mishnah as the Mekayman according to the Tosfos is not Bidin in the Shama Farm Sarsena. It's Bidin Shlish B'Mishnah. We recite the whole Perik and Mishnahs. And then the Rabbi Shmuel Lama is the Shlish B'Talmud. So that's a Machlekes here. So the Maril has a suffix whether our reciting Mishnah tablets and the day on which you bring Musafim on Yom Tovim and Rosh Chodoshim, not on Shabbos. Shabbos, there is no Chatos. But on Yom Tov, when you have a story of Lachatos, so it's not enough just to say, oh, the Kodesh Kodoshim. You have to say the other Mishnah also. Chatzat Siba V'yochad Ein Lein Chatzat Siba. Then you say, Shchitos Batsofen Kibla Moshes Batsofen Son. So the Maril is Mesupik, where they're reciting those Mishnayas, oh, the Kodesh Kodoshim, and Chatzat Siba V'yochad, is that only B'Torah Shlish B'Mishnah, like the Goenim say? So the women are not Mechuyiv. Talmud Torah says not mechuyev in that, or is that the Torah of the Shalom Farm Sarsenu? So the women are also mechuyev. The men don't say it. The Maril is mesupik whether the women have to say it. The men don't say it. It's not right. And the Zionists don't say it. Then the Turek character they hold that we have no right to control Eretz Yisrael, so they don't have to say the Korban. But the modern Orthodox, we're the big Zionists. We should be the ones who insist Dafke to say the Korbanos. That's what the Gemara says. Let Avraham Avinu asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what's going to be when there's no Beis Hamikdash? So you only have a right to control Eretz Yisrael if you recite Korbanos. Then the Mishnah continues. The bottom lines on Lamed Beis Hamidal. Ema Skirin Malchus Chen Shofes of Puranas. So the Gemara said, Puranas Li Yisrael. If it's Puranas L'Masalam, that's okay. But you don't say Puranas Li Yisrael. And then the Gemara says also, you don't say Shal Yochid. You only say, if it's Malchus on the Shofar, Shal Rabin. And the Gemara has a Machlekes HaTanaim. What about the Psukim? Hashem Pokad Esora. Pakod Pokadati Esor. It doesn't say the verb Zikaron. It says Pakod, which is the same as Zikaron. So that's Machlokes Rabbi Yosi and Rabbi Yehuda, whether Pigdoinus are Rehen Kizachroinus or not. Then there's a machlekes of Yosi against Rabbi Yudit. What about the Sukkim? Mihu melacha? Mihu zeh melacha kol? Mi zeh melacha kol? It's a question. When you give the answer, Hashem gibam milchamor, that doesn't say malchus. And says Hashem tzolus on melacha kol betzela. That counts as malchus. What about the question that leads up to the answer? The question, you didn't say that because Baruch is the melech. We ask mi zeh melacha kol? Mihu zeh melacha kol? So that's a machlokes hatanaim, whether that pasuk counts as malchus or not. Okay, we already have it worked out. In Shulchan Aruch they write that in the middle of the bracha on Shofaros, the tenth pasuk that we add in the middle of the bracha on Shofaros is "V'yom sepchas ma'adech m'roshach ha'shech miskaita machatzoyzis alba lasech malzit chesham nechem," etc. And it's katam l'avtasham l'kech. So that's a big, the machaber right, that's a big machlokes in the Rishonim, whether that counts. Is that a legitimate pasuk that counts for shofaros? Because it doesn't say shofar, it says chatzaitzris. Chatzaitzris is metal. Shofar is from an animal. It's not the same. So that's a big machlokes. So Rav Soloveitchik introduced the practice to satisfy the opinion of the other Rishonim that not only should Malchius have the tenth pasuk right after the first nine, Zecharinus and Shofar should also have the tenth pasuk after the first nine. So he left the pasuk in the concluding paragraph in Zecharinus and Shofar, but he say it again at the end of the ninth psukim. So since the pasuk in Shofar is questionable, the Mechaber quotes a machlokes because it doesn't say anything about Shofar. It says about Chatzaitzris. So he quoted, his practice would be, he would add a tenth pasuk after the nine in Shofar, which the Gemara says is acceptable. The Gemara says, a truas melech bo, Shem alakav imo truas melech bo, that's in the words Bilam, I think, no? Shem alakav imo truas melech bo. So that pasuk, the Gemara says, for sure is good. So he had the practice to say that pasuk. When do you blow Shofar? So the practice used to be that they used to blow shofar in Chazoras HaShatz of Shachris. What do you mean Chazoras HaShatz of Shachris? But we don't say Malchus Chayna Shofar. He's supposed to blow shofar after Malchus, after Zechayna, after Shofar. So the simple pshat in the Gemara is we're going to decide when we're going to recite Malchus Chayna Shofar when we decide when we want to blow shofar. So if you're going to blow shofar in Chazoras HaShatz of Shachris, then Shachris is going to have the nine brachas, and Musaf is going to be only seven brachas. If you're going to decide to blow shofar and Musaf for some reason or another, then Shachris will only be seven brachas, like a regular Shabbos and Yom Tov. You only have one bracha in the middle. You only when you blow shofar in the middle of Chazoras HaShatz, that's when you want to have the Malchus Ben Shofar. That's the way we usually assume. The Baal HaMor writes not so, and there's a Rashi in Avodah Zarah that the Mefarshim point out, the Maharsha points it out. First paragraph of the Zohar from Rashi, the Baal HaMor is beferish. He says, the Gemara says on Rosh Hashanah, you say, Malchus Chayin Shofar has nine brachas. We have a source in Tanakh, Tefillah Schana, that you offer a tefillah with nine units. And the Gemara doesn't say it's only Musaf on Rosh Hashanah. So he says, Mayrib, Shachris, Musaf, and Mincha. Every tefillah on Rosh Hashanah has the Malchus Chayin Shofar with all of the ten psukim. It's not only in Musaf. So according to the Baal HaMor, the Gemara is easy. You don't have to say, you make up your mind when you're going to blow shofar. Whenever you decide you're going to blow shofar, so that tefillah should have the malchus when the shofar. Let's say a yochid is going to daven, and he knows how to blow shofar. He has a Baal Tekeah to blow for him. So the Gemara says, a yochid doesn't blow in the middle of Chazoras HaShatz. And the yochid doesn't blow in the middle of tefillah balachad. The Gemara says, he only blows shofar B'tzibur. The Gemara says, you only blow shofar b'tzibur. That's the question, what do you mean b'tzibur? B'tzibur means a chazor sashatz of the tzibur, or even a tefillah balachash of the tzibur. The Tosfos quotes this gigantic Tosfos on Lamed Gimel on the base. They bring up a lot of topics, and only one Tosfos is Lamed Gimel on the base. So they quote from the Oruch, the meaning from the days of the Gemara that you have mea koilas. So the Oruch makes a calculation that you blow 30 koilas after maftir, before you start musaf, 30 koilas in the middle of tefillah balachash, 30 koilas in the middle of Chazoras HaShatz, And then you blow 10 kodos at the end, so you have 30, 30, 30, and 10 is 100. Most shuls, they don't blow in tefillah belachas. By the chassidim, they blow tefillah belachas. The sechsvar, minik svar, they blow. But that's the mocker is from the sefer ha'aruch that they used to blow. Because the Gemara says, a yochid doesn't blow. The Gemara says, the yochid doesn't blow in the middle of tefillah. If yochid is davening, the person is sick and he's davening at home. But even though he knows how to blow shofar, he has a baltikeh there. You only have tkiyah shofar in the middle of chazaras hashah, in the middle of bitzibur. You don't have the yochid in the middle of shemana esrei. So the question is, when you do bitzibur, it's only in the chazaras hashah's bitzibur, or even in the tefillah balachash of bitzibur. So that's the machloikis. So the oruch is of the opinion, whenever bitzibur, the tefillah balachash of bitzibur, and the chazaras hashah's, both you're going to have tkiyah shofar at the end of malchias. Abnei Nezer was a chassidish Rebbe, Sochat Shavar Rebbe, and he has in his Truvas, he says, if not for the fact that I'm a chassidish Rebbe, that's what I do for a living, he says, I would not blow shofar in the middle of tefillah belachash, it's a terrible balagan. These people are in the middle of the Mogen Avraham, the other people in the same shalom, everybody's in a different place, and it's absolutely confusing, and no one knows what's going on. If you blow shofar in the middle of Chazaras Hashatz, so this Chazan is saying the Shemana Esrei at the conclusion of Malchus, at the conclusion of Zechariah, at the conclusion of shofar, we understand, but if you're going to blow shofar in the middle of Tefillah Balachash, how's anybody going to know what you're up to? Maybe it'll be a hepsik also. I'm in the middle of the first bracha, Mogen Avraham, I'm davening slowly, I'm in a Mogen Avraham, and they're blowing shofar. Shofar in the middle of Halil, it's probably a hepsik. Like shaking a lulav in the middle of Shemana Esrei is a hefsek. Shofar fits in with the Shemana Esrei. Shofar fits in the Shemana Esrei at the end of Malchus, at the end of Zechariah, at the end of Shofaras. Because he said the 10th posik, you're mechazik the bakosha, you're mechazik the bakosha. You elevate the level of the tefillah by having the tefillah sheyeshim and the moz by blowing shofar. But you're not holding by that. You're saying all this in words, it's Dushas Hashem, and they're blowing shofar already. So you're going to hear shofar in the middle of the air. It could be that that's a hefsek. So Rav Soloveitchik's practice would be that he would always make an announcement before they blew shofar. He would say he's going to say his tefillah belachash a little louder. All year long he used to daven out loud. Rav Chaim also, Chavetz Chaim also, the people next to Chavetz Chaim heard everything. Rav Davila Soloveitchik also. He would always daven shmoneh, tefillah belachash, daven out loud. They said, they told the story that once Rav Bevela Soloveitchik was davening on Rosh Chodesh and he forgot Yalla V'Yavoy. And everybody heard that he left that Yalla. So they told him, say Yalla V'Yavoy, say Yalla V'Yavoy. They kept him, say Yalla, he didn't hear. He was concentrating on the davening. But then when he finished davening, they told him he forgot Yalla V'Yavoy. So they said, why don't you tell me? Why don't you tell me? They kept on telling him and he was concentrating. He didn't hear that. They told him, say Yalla V'Yavoy. So Rav Soloveitchik would always make the announcement, but all year long he did like this. He said, daven tefillah belachash a little loud, so everyone will hear, and they should synchronize their Shemana Esrei with his. He said, I'm older than everybody here, and I've been saying this tefillah longer, many more years than you, and he used to know the psukim by heart. He knew the Malchus, or he knew all the time psukim by heart. And he says, I don't know how you say it so quickly. It takes me longer. He used to daven very quickly all year long. Malchus on Shabbos, you have to say the psukim. You have to pronounce every word and every syllable in the word. So he said, I don't see how you can daven so quickly. Synchronize your davening with me, and when I'm going to finish Malchias, then the Baltikeh is going to blow. When I'm going to finish Zechrinus, then the Baltikeh. He used to daven quickly on Rosh Hashanah, he didn't daven so slowly. But he told everybody they have to wait. When they finish Malchias, they have to wait till the Baltikeh blows. And then, so the Abnei Nezer writes, if not for the fact that he's a Chassidish Rebbe, he would not have blown shofar in the middle of Tefillah Belachash. But he said, what can I do? That's what I do for a living. I have no choice. But he's not happy about it, because it's a terrible balagan. He should have had this suggestion, this solution that Rabbi Soloveitchik had, to say the Tefillah Belachash a little bit out loud, so everybody would be able to synchronize with him. That's what the Mishnah has here. When do you blow shofar in Musaf? So the Gemara says, why do you blow shofar in Musaf? When they say halal, Mishas ha-halal, you say halal after Shachris. So why shouldn't you blow shofar in the middle of Chazaras Hashatz of Shachris? So we already spoke about this Gemara. The Gemara says there are two contradictory considerations. On the one hand, there's a consideration of Zriz Makdim LeMitzvahs. You're going to have Chazar Sashat of Shachris and of Musaf. So why wait to Musaf? Why wait till later? Why not fulfill the mitzvah of Kir Shev as early as possible? So doing Chazar Sashat of Shachris. On the other hand, half of the people in the shul are not going to show up to the middle of Kriyas HaTorah. Most of the people come late to shul, even on Rosh Hashanah. So you're going to blow shofar in the middle of Chazar Sashat of Shachris. It's going to be a lack of Bereivam Hadas Mel. So which of these two is more important? So Gemara says, more important is the Zviz Makdim LeMitzvahs, take precedence over Bereivam Hadas Melach. And the practice always used to be that they blew shofar in the middle of Chazar Sashats of Shachris, and the people that came late, and they had to figure out how they're going to hear the Kir Shofar later. So why did they change it to Musaf? Because Bishas Gzeres Malcho Shonu. That's what the Gemara says. What did Mishas Gzeres Malchus? The Tyson says, the government thought incorrectly that the Jews are organizing an insurrection and they're blowing shofar to rally the troops to rebel against the government. So, but if they hear the Jews are saying Shema Yisrael and saying davening, Kriyas HaTorah, then they're going to blow shofar in the middle of Musa. So the government, the police and the government investigators will realize it's part of their religion. They're not rebelling. So that's what Tosfos raises the question. How does it apply in America? People do all kinds of... People burn the flag of America in front of the White House and they don't put them in prison. So we're going to blow shofar in the middle of Shachris. They're going to put us in jail. People doing worse than that. So Tosfos says that we're still concerned. Very difficult. Why are we still concerned? Shas Zeres Malchus. Tosfos says, Afal Pisha Batak Zeres Malchus Le'abdinikin Me'ikora. Why? In America? You're afraid? America? It's a problem. Why do we still blow shofar in Musaf and not in Shachris? That's a serious question. We mentioned that the poskim say, based on this Gemara, that it's not proper to have a pidyon haben at the end of the day. If you have the pidyon haben in the morning, like a bris right after Shachris, so somehow a bris, a lot of people who come pidyon haben, they won't come. We don't know why. Psychology, they won't come pidyon haben, so you'll have a small oil. So in order to have Bereivam Hadas Melach, you have the pidyon haben at the end of the day, see, no more people will attend. But the halacha says that Zviz Magdimen takes precedence to the principle of the both Hidur. Bereivam Hadas Melach is a Hidur, Zviz Magdimen is a Hidur. Whatever, there's a conflict, Morris said the Farish, that Zviz Magdimen the Mitzvah takes precedence. So they say it's not right. And then there's a Mishnah. Mishnah says, if the person, Mishnah Sukkot, if the person is in the middle of eating his meal, and they finally bring him a lulav and an esrog, so you should bench esrog in the middle of the meal. But it's mashma, it's not right to eat before you shake a lulav, it's not right to eat before you hear tkiyah shofar. Any time you have a mitzvah, it's mano iveris. You don't have forever to do the mitzvah. You have to do the mitzvah today, you're going to lose the opportunity. So the din is you're not supposed to eat before you do the mitzvah. So the father of the baby who didn't do pinyon haben yet, many poskim say he's not allowed to eat on that day.
What about, if we're seeing the whole chashash is of machuta, what about Eretz Yisrael nowadays when the whole machuta recognizes Rosh Hashanah, why nowadays don't we say also Eretz Yisrael?
I mean, it's a bigger kasha in Eretz Yisrael.
Yeah.
Depends who's running the government. Yeah. But as you, yes, no, a bit, yeah.
Even if the Arabs were running the government, they still recognize yes. Shana.
Yeah, that's a big kashim. That is a big kashim. We don't know exactly why we still follow what Tosfos says. Kashinish and Yachsa double the Kilkulai. Why should we be concerned? I don't know. It's a very strong question. Anyway, so that's what the poskim are not happy about that. Why the common practice you do pidyon haben at the end of the day, say it's not right. They say it could be that you're not allowed to eat. Some of the Acharim say there's a minute that the Chas and Kala fast the day of the wedding because they're planning to get married that day, so you're not allowed to eat before you do the mitzvah. The day before you can eat. But that day that you plan to do the mitzvah, the day of the bris, father should eat before he does the bris for his baby. And father should eat before he does the pidyon haben. Just like you're not supposed to eat before you... before you shake the lulav, you're not supposed to eat before you have tkiyas shofar. And all the yeshivas, the practice used to be that they took so long with all the davening, they're going to finish your doomsday. So that's why they always had a kiddush. They used to have a kiddush after maftir, before tkiyas shofar. So Rav Henkin used to be the big posek in New York before Moshe Weinstein came over from Russia. See, he always used to insist that it's not right. That preferable is they should blow shofar and have the kiddush if they really feel that they need a kiddush because they're going to daven until 5 o'clock in the afternoon on Rosh Hashanah. So they should make kiddush in the middle of tkiyas shofar. In the middle. After they blow shofar ready, before they go to musaf, they should eat that rather than have kiddush. Before tkiyas shofar, they should have kiddush in the middle. Because mikra adin, it really isn't any din of hefsek. But then no one ever listened to him. He lived to a ripe old age. He used to be older than all the Rosh Yeshiva in New York area. And starting from Rosh Chodesh Elul, when people would greet each other, he would always give musa to the younger. He was in his 80s, 90s, and they were in their 60s. He would always give him musa. Make sure that you make kiddush after the kiddush, but not before. No one ever listened to him. Because Mikra Adin, we assume that din, you're not allowed to eat before you blow shofar, not allowed to eat before you shake a lulav, not allowed to eat before you do a mitzvah, it's only achila, a whole suda. But te'ima, we assume is mutas. When you have a kiddush, they don't give a whole meal, they just give two pieces of cake and fartik. Then the Gemara points out, based on the Mishnah, would appear that you say Hallel, another Yom Tov, but on Rosh Hashanah you don't say Hallel. So Gemara says, why not? The Ramban in the Sefer HaMitzvot explains the Gemara in Erechin Daf Yud Beis that the Chiyuv Hallel, the Ramban suggests, according to the Bahag, perhaps the Bahag thinks that Hallel is a Chiyuv Derais. So the Ramban said, how can it be Derais? There's no Pasuk in Chumash that says you have to be saying Hallel. So the Ramban explains, based on his pshat in the Gemara in Erech and Daf Yudim and Beis, Hallel is a fulfillment of the din of Simchas Yontov. There's Simchas Aguf and Simchas HaNefesh. So Simchas Aguf is fulfilled by having Basa B'Yayin. And Simchas HaNefesh is fulfilled by reciting Hallel. So the Gemara has a question, do you recite Hallel on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? What's the din Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? Is the Rechiv Simcha or not? So some of the Rishonim say that that's the question that's discussed in Eredin Daf Mem Amid Beis. Does one recite Shachiyanu in Kiddush on Rosh Hashanah? Do you say Shachiyanu on Yom Kippur? You don't say Kiddush on Yom Kippur, but do you recite Shachiyanu? What's the Shaila? So some of the Rishonim say, on Pesach Shavuot Sukkos you say Shachiyanu because it's a Chiyuv Simcha. You say Shachiyanu v'Gibar Olas Man Hazeh. On Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, maybe there's no Chiyuv Simcha, so the Gemara comes to the conclusion, there is a Chiyuv Simcha, and you're mechuyav to say Shachiyanu. First, the Gemara says, what did you do last year? Nobody remembers what we did last year on Rosh Hashanah. Look at the Machzor. What does it say? It says Shachiyanu. The Gemara says, we know that you say Shachiyanu. For sure you say Shachiyanu. But the Shaila is it a Rishus or is it a Chayva? Everybody said Shachiyanu last year. Maybe it's only a rishus, like Shachiyanu on a pre-chadosh. Shachiyanu, when you see pre-chadosh, why do you say Shachiyanu? When you buy a new house or you buy a new suit and you're so excited, then you say Shachiyanu. And when you see that they're selling spinach in the store, you get so excited. Let's say, I don't like spinach, or I'm allergic to spinach. I'm going to get sick if I eat. I see they have watermelon. I can't afford the watermelon. I'm not going to eat it. So Medina de Gemara, you say Shachiyanu when you see it in the store. The Vilna Gaon used to say when he saw it in the store. That's what they tell all the story. The Vilna Gaon asked his wife, what did she buy for Shachiyanu for the second day of Rosh Hashanah? So she showed it to him. So he said Shachiyanu right away. Because he followed the din of the Gemara. You say Shachiyanu when you see the fruit. You have to wait till you're going to eat it. So he said Shachiyanu right away. So the Shachiyanu is not over the excitement of eating the fruit and the vegetable. Shachiyanu is over the fact that I realize that I survived the whole year. Now it's the watermelon season, now it's the cherry season, now it's the apple season, the orange season, whatever. These are seasonal fruits. In a lot of times in New York, the store on the corner, They have watermelons all year long. Either they get it from America, from Canada, from South Africa, South America. You get it from another country. If you have all year long, then you don't notice that you survived another year. Last week there were also watermelons. The watermelons came from America, they came from another continent. What's the difference? But if the store on the corner doesn't have cherries all year long, doesn't have watermelons all year long, so then when they start selling the new fruit, you realize that you survived another year. So that's the Shechyonu and Hagoyes Hazman. So when it comes Rosh Hashanah, it comes Yom Kippur, you certainly say Shechyonu and Hagoyes Hazman. But the Gemara says Shechyonu and the Pichadosh and Hagoyes Hazman, that's only Rishus, that's optional. So everybody remembers, last year we did say Shechyonu and Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. The Gemara was asking an Erev and Daf Mem on the base, is it a Chayva because of Simchas Yontif applies even on Shani Yom Kippur, and maybe it's only Vashu. So the Gemara comes to the conclusion, it is a Chayva. It means that there is a Chiyav Simcha on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. So if there is a Chiyav Simcha, so the Ramban says that the reciting of Hallel is based on the Chiyav Simcha. So maybe the Jewish people should recite Hallel on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. So that's what the Gemara says. Amma Malach HaShavis of Ne'akadosh Baruch HaBanu Shalom. How come the Jewish people don't recite Hallel on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, no, they're doing the right thing. Sefer Chaim, Sefer Meisim, Suchim Lefonov. And it doesn't make sense to say Hallel. What does that mean? So the Rambam writes, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur are not Yemei Simcha Yisera. It's not, it's a toned down Simcha. It's Yom Deroim, Sefer Chaim, Sefer Meisim, Suchim Lefonov. The Simcha is toned down. So even though we do, even though we're mechuyev to say Shachyana because of the Chiyuv Simcha, but we don't recite Hallel. So it says Hallel should really be recited when one recites Ubishas Hallel. And Shabbos Regala, when you say Hallel, you say it Arishin Makrei is Hallel. You say it right after Shachris, before Kadosh Nisgalo. Means it belongs to Shachris. And this Banatanaim, they already changed the time when you do Tkiyah Shofar. They used to originally in the early years, they did Tkiyah Shofar Middle Chazar Sashatz of Shachris, and they said Malchus Lavan Shofar. And then a later generation, because of the Xeris Malchus Shoninu, so they moved it to Musaf. And Tosfos said, we're still concerned about that, because Shem Yachsa Dabar L'Kukul. It's a difficult idea. Shem Yachsa Dabar L'Kukul, we don't understand. What does the Mishnah say? What if the only shofar that they have is on top of a tree? Some wise guy put it on top of the tree. So there's a din, emish tam shebeilon. You're not allowed to climb up on a tree. Even if you don't have to climb up, you're just going to take, let's say somebody, the story with the stipler. The stipler was drafted in the Polish army. So it was freezing one night, and the fellow on guard before him was a Nochri. And the Nochri had a fur coat to keep himself warm. He shouldn't freeze to death. The disciple asked him, when you finish your shift, please leave the fur coat. I'll be able to wear it. So the Nochri hung up the fur coat on a branch on the tree. So that's an Issei. It was on Shabbos. It was Friday night. So this is Emish Tam Shabbat. And you're not allowed to climb up on a tree. You're not allowed to take off something that's hanging on a tree. So they tell over the whole story, that the disciple felt he's gonna get sick if he doesn't violate the din. But he said, not going to get sick waiting 5 minutes. I'll wait 5 minutes, then I'll take off of the tree. Then he figured, wait another 5 minutes. So he waited all night long. He didn't take the fur coat off the tree. And that's how he became deaf. The moral of the story is that you shouldn't observe too many chumras because you're going to get sick. All of his chumras. Yeah. When it was holding by the end of his life also, he couldn't sleep at night. So they gave him a sleeping pill. So the next day, the doctor asked him, how did it go last night? He said, he tasted the pill. It tastes like stam yeno. What do you mean it tastes like stam? What are you talking about? Chamel achalem. It tasted like stam yeno. So they had the pill came from Switzerland. So they called up Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, who lived in Switzerland, and had to investigate. It didn't have any stam yeno. Of course it didn't have. What are you talking about? Even that stam yeno, nipsim achilas akelef. Who's going to eat a pill with his chumras? He wouldn't use soap to bathe. He would just wash the blood. He was choshesh that maybe there's chelev in the soap, and there's a chumra, the vilni goyim, there's machmer that you say sicha kishtiyah. The Ramah paskins, you're allowed to use a bar of soap on the weekday. Shabbos, you're not allowed to use a bar of soap. But on the weekdays, you're permitted to use a bar of soap, even if there is chelev, because you only say sich kishtiyah on shemen. You don't say it on a salad. And Tosfos says it only applies to truma. It doesn't apply to everything. And the Vilna Gaon is machma. You say sich kishtia, even on a chalev, if it's trefa chalev, if it's trefa chalev and a bar of soap. Expensive soaps have chalev. The stipula couldn't afford the expensive. He had a cheap. He was choshed. Maybe there's chalev. He was choshed everything. They tell the story. The Chazon Ish set him up. He should meet his sister. So he went on the train. And he was afraid maybe the shatness on the cloth cover on the seat. So he stood the whole ride. So on the date, he fell asleep in the middle of the day. So the girl didn't want to marry him. The guy's a mishugan. Falls asleep in the middle of the day. So the Chazon Ish pressured his sister she should marry him. They had a happy marriage. But all of these chumas, the exaggerated chumas, exaggerated chumas. So he lost his hearing. He was deaf for the rest of his life because of that chumar. He wasn't going to take the coat off. But over here, it says, Shofesh Vashana, you're not allowed to climb up out the tree, even if you don't have to climb up. You're not allowed to take it off of a tree. That's a violation of Eimish Tamshin Be'ilon. And even though the whole Shofar is deraisa, and Eimish Tamshin Be'ilon is only Dinah Rabbanan, you don't say Esed Echolai says. You're not allowed to. You're not allowed to. And if the only way to get to the Shofar is by going Chutz L'Trum, even though he passed in Trum in his lab deraisa, Rabbi Kiva's opinion was rejected. Rabbi Kiva says Trum and Alpai Mam is deraisa based on Parshas Masse. It says the cities in Eretzol have to have Alpai Mama Michutz L'Ir, so Rabbi Kiva learns that Alpai Mam is deraisa. We don't pass like that. So Trumin is only the Rabbana still. You're not allowed to go chutz l'Trumin in order to hear it Kir Shofar. Well, let's say the Shofar is under a pile of stones. So the stones are muktzah, so it's tilta muktzah. The Gemara sometimes may even be a melacha deraisa, but in a besoiser over there, you're not allowed to violate any issa in order to hear Kir Shofar. Shabbos, what if Rosh Hashanah is on Erev Shabbos? Lo Adu Rosh, the first day Rosh Hashanah is never on a Friday. The original Rosh Hashanah and Sheshes Mei Breishes was Friday. Bada Marisha was created on Friday. But we live in an imperfect world, so that's why by us Rosh Hashanah never on a Friday. We don't eat rice, but that's one of the many rice that the Mekubalim preach, that we live in. We know it's an imperfect world. Everybody's killing each other. The whole world is about to collapse. But the Mekubalim say, see, it's an imperfect world. That's why Rosh Hashanah is never on Friday. So let's say 2 days Rosh Hashanah, Thursday and Friday. So the second day, let's say, they have no Shofar. They have no Shofar, Shofar. So let's say, the second day Rosh Hashanah, they have a Kabbal Shabbos early, and then they discover that there is a Shofar. Are they allowed to blow Shofar? You're not allowed to blow Shofar on Shabbos. So what about here? They were mekabel tosefes Shabbos early, and then they discover there is a shofar, or a guy brings a shofar to town. Somehow they get a shofar half an hour before shkia, but they're already on mekabel Shabbos. You say also like that, just like you're not allowed to violate any din derabbanan in order to do tkiyah shofar. So the din shemi avirenu is also gzeira derabbanan. So you're not allowed to violate that din? What do you say? No, only Rosh Hashanah Shechodi is b'Shabbos. If tomorrow Shabbos we have Mekabel Shabbos early, maybe then you are allowed to blow Shofar. So that's the discussion in the poskim. The Aderis has a tshuva about that. The Aderis was the first father-in-law of Rav Kook. Aderis is a Rosh Tevis. He was known as a major poskim in Europe. Aderis is a Rosh Tevis. Elio David Rabinowitz Ta'omim. He had a twin brother. The family name used to be Rabinowitz, and when he was born, he had a twin brother, so he changed the name to Rabinowitz Ta'omim. So Rav Kook married his daughter, and then his first wife died, and the father-in-law, the Aderis, recommended he should marry his first wife's cousin, his twin brother's daughter. So that was the second wife. The second wife was the cousin of the first wife. So the Aderis has a truth about that Maisa Shahaya, that they had no shofar in town, and the second day of Rosh Hashanah was on Friday, and they were Mekabel Shabbos early, and then they found the shofar all of a sudden. Are they allowed to blow, or is there a gzeira shemi avirenu? So he has a difficulty, Tshuva. He says they had no right to be Mekabel Shabbos early to make it impossible for them to blow shofar, So the Kabbalah Shabbos, the Sefer Shabbos is not Chal. You have no right to make a Kabbalah the Sefer Shabbos. Anyway, that's a discussion in Pesach. Okay, there's a lot more to discuss. A big mesichta. I apologize, I'm not going to be here anymore. You should continue to learn up the storm. Klal Yisrael needs more Talmid HaChacham. Whatever you plan to do for a living, whether you're going to become a doctor, a lawyer, an Indian chief, you have to be Talmid HaChacham. Klal Yisrael needs a lot more Talmid HaChacham. And the chiyuv to learn Torah is not only when you're a student. In elementary school, or high school, or college, or graduate school, even after you're no longer a student, the chiyuv, the Rambam says, till the day that you die, at your bus, you're mechuyev to learn. Whatever you do for a living, you're mechuyev to learn. They're a businessman, and there are doctors and lawyers who are bigger Talmid HaChacham than the rabbis and yeshiva. They're just not cut out to be a rabbi or a rabbi and yeshiva. But the chiyuv Talmud Torah doesn't have anything to do with whether you're a rabbi and yeshiva or not. You have a chiyuv to learn, and to learn Kol HaTorah Kulo. So we're expecting a lot of all of you. Okay, have a tzlochet.